Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name's Andrew Ray, and I'm joined this week by
David Paulison
and Cecilia Bernhardt.
Thanks for coming in.
You are welcome, Drew.
This week we're going to discuss social isolation, and we received a question that goes like this. I didn't feel close to anyone as a child and was very socially isolated. I have made friends as an adult, but feel very disconnected from people. I find it hard to give love, and people find it hard to love me. Can Jesus heal me?
I think the first thing, when I hear that question, is just my heart goes out to this person, because they are feeling very isolated. And as a single woman in my 40s, I know what that feels like to deal with isolation over a long period of time. And I could say I identify with this question to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So probably for me, I think the first thing I want to do when someone raises a question like this is to reassure them that I care about them, making a connection with them, listening to them, coming alongside them, and then also gently pointing out to them that Jesus cares about them, and he loves them in a deeper and more intimate way than I could or any of the people in their lives. So probably my first goal is to come alongside and reassure them just by being close to them.
Yeah, and my first comment would be along that same track that. There is a profound reassurance that they aren't unusual in this. That this is something which they may have a deeper degree of this struggle than some other people, or than perhaps I have. But we are in this together, and there's even a sense where there's a proverb. I think it's in chapter 14 that says something like, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy." And that would be true even if we were unfallen. We don't have perfect access. There's never anybody who's fully intimate to me, with me, to the extent that they feel what I feel, the way I feel it. Some of the most vivid experiences of that isolation I've gone through, where it's been brought to a point, has been going into surgeries, where my family cares for me, my friends care for me, my pastor cares for me, people are praying for me, they are with me, but only I am about to be put under. Right. Only I will wake up feeling the pain of that post-surgical wake up. And there's some essential loneliness in human experience that, and I think at a certain level, it can be comforting to realize that, so that this person doesn't feel like, well, I'm just a social, misfit. That there's actually a part where I think you could say God has so designed us that he alone would have full access into the human heart. That our one sure intimacy, stronger even than death, stronger even than, what if you have an enforced isolation, you're in prison, you're all alone, you're going to be killed. God is with you. You walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will be with you. And God alone has full access to our hearts. And there's something about that. Obviously it can be said in a way that's trite, but it sure better be said and lived and expressed in a way that is absolutely profoundly true. Because it is ultimately the only real answer that goes as deep as the need.
Yeah, and that's you're reminding me, David, when I was putting together my talk on singleness for last year's conference, I thought a lot about isolation. That was the focus of the talk. And basically my main point was how we are never truly isolated because Jesus voluntarily isolated himself. And I just think about his cry on the cross. You know, when you read through the Gospel of Mark, for Jesus, there's a growing isolation, you know, as the passion, as he works through the passion, and then he comes to the cross and he cries out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And to me, that is just the moment that tells the depth of God's love for us, that Jesus would face that for us so that we will never be alone. And that to me has come to me in my moments of struggle with isolation and separation from people. And I found that when people can see Jesus in that light, they are able to just, you know, approach him and pour out their heart to him and to one another as we each see we each face the different types of isolation that we have in our own lives.
Yeah. Let me be first person on it. You're telling the story that way. I remember after I had bypass surgery, heart surgery, and I awakened from in the coronary intensive care unit. It is a degree of pain that is hard. You know, just changed my calculus of what pain meant. And in the middle of the night, there was the IV in my wrist had come out, and there was a nurse who was reinserting it, and she was so, I never saw her face. It was dark, and I was in that haze, post-surgical haze, but she treated me with such tenderness. I'll never forget it. And she might have taken 15 minutes to find the right place to make the stick to make sure that she would minimally cause me pain. And it was interesting at the time. I said, I was so touched by her tenderness, and I said, which is the way, in a sense, the isolation was overcome, not to make it go away, but there was some, it meant the world that there was kindness there. And then I said, would you pray for me? And all I sensed was sort of like a nurse going like, oh no, how could I do that? You know, I said, no, don't worry. I'll say the words. Would you just pray with me? And what came to my mind that builds off just off what you said is, I prayed in the light of the Lord bless and keep, make your face shine, be gracious, turn your face towards me, give me peace. You know, it that he is a God who each of those things, blessing, keeping, a face that's shining, turning a face towards, gracious, peace, those are all words that involve intimacy as part of them. And just in that, I mean, that instant has stood in my mind as this perfect convergence of a meaningful connect with another human being, in this case someone I never even knew her name or saw her face, and yet then the more profound connect with God, who can really bring peace even in the midst of things that are very distressing.
Right, and looking at the situation that this person brings to the room, where they felt so isolated as a child, I think, David, what you're saying is really important, because we, as biblical counselors, we want to look at the here and now and say, well, first of all, we want to make sure that we hear that story, that we hear the person's understanding of their own story, so that we can learn how it is they view life, how they view their relationships. But at the same time, as we come along and as we listen, as we learn from them, we want to be thinking about, okay, how do we orient them to you're here and now. The gospel frees us to move toward people here and now. And the great thing is that whatever God calls us to do, he enables us to do. So Jesus said, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love others as yourself. Well, he enables us then to move toward one another. So he breaks through nurture, he breaks through nature, and he enables us to love one another even when our upbringings were challenging.
Yeah. And there could be a lot of reasons that sense of isolation could be that this was a shy, artistic child in a go-go-go family.
Yeah, exactly.
It could have been there was this family of violence and betrayal and rape and horrible things. It could have been a normal family, but nobody ever really stopped to talk. There's a lot of different, we'd want to find that out, but there is a sense where at every point that moving towards God, the God who moves towards us, and moving towards others is part of it. And it'd be real concrete. I remember at one point being really struck. I knew about a half dozen single guys, mid-30s, all wanted to be married, all felt lonely, all struggled. And they were in our church. They were, most of them were in a small group that I was part of. And over the next 5 years, three of them really matured and three of them stagnated. And what was interesting is that the three that really matured each got involved in reaching out, but the, where they started was reaching out to children. They got involved in the nursery and in the preschool. And there's a sense where, I mean, even a pet, you know, children, a pet, the elderly, the real needy in some way, they, for someone who wants to overcome isolation, that is a great way to start, you know. If you're sitting in the two-year-old Sunday school class, really all you have to do is sit on the floor, and a kid will be snuggling up, sitting in your lap within 45 seconds, you know. Because kids are so quick to respond to somebody caring for them. And then that just has such blessing in someone who has struggled with maybe extreme shyness or isolation. It's just one of those small steps in the direction of loving your neighbor.
Thanks for coming in.
Sure.
You're welcome, Drew.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.